age.
Hi, family. My name is Kim H., and I'm an addict. Central Maryland is my area, and it's good to be here. And my heart started beating fast the moment I stood up. And I've been thinking about this topic for at least a week. What am I going to talk about? You know, what would be those slogans and cliches and stuff that I've heard over the years? And I'm going to tell you the truth. I really didn't know what I was going to do with it. I'm turning my head this way so I could look at my road dogs over there. And I started to go the book route because I'm a book kind of person. Got a master's degree in computer systems management, and you know, smart, right? So I went online and I pulled up NA slogans, and I was reading some things, and I wasn't feeling it, to be honest about it, because no matter if it's a step that I'm talking about, a tradition that I'm talking about, a topic that I'm talking about, I want to talk from the heart. I want to talk from what my experience with something is, because that's really, as somebody in the fellowship from the Central Maryland, D.C. area says, his story is his most precious possession. And that's really all I have, to be honest about it. And in some of that story, I might get some, I might remember some of those slogans. Some might be kind of funny in the way that I use them, like, you know, what you were talking about, Bakri. And so anyway, by the time I got here to recovery, I was 27 years old, hopeless, helpless, defeated, beat up, and all that stuff. Somebody suggested, you know, that I go to this hospital and start the process through a treatment program, which I did. Stayed there 4 months. And I started coming to meetings because I had a long waiting list, right? I started coming to NA meetings before I even went in. And one of the first things I noticed in 1986, my clean date is March 5th, 1986. That's more than 10,000 days. How about that? One of the first things I noticed about that time frame when I was going to those early meetings is guys are wearing tight jeans then. Let's keep it real, y'all, right, Bakri? They were tight, right? They ain't like the stuff they wear now. They hanging all down, and you can't see nothing. Anyway, when they said, he coming back, I was like, yes, I can do that. I even remember after that first couple of meetings, I go into one meeting on Minnesota Avenue, and the jeans were especially tight. Coming back to the house I was staying in, by then I got kicked out by my friend. You know, I was living somewhere, right, until I went into treatment. And I remember saying to my friend, girl, you ought to see these guys in these pants. They're wearing it. I mean, you know, it's what kept me coming back, whatever it takes, right? You got to go through your process. That's my process, tight jeans. So I kept coming back. I looked at them tight jeans, right? And then, you know, over a period of time, I remember somebody saying, and again, I don't know whether this is NA or if this was one of the therapeutic community things, but don't matter, it worked for me. Talking will save your life. Yeah. They told me to talk. They told me to talk about it. And I did. I talked about everything, everything. And I looked at it this way. I didn't really have no secrets when I was on the street, right? There were no secrets. Somebody knew everything. They saw the crazy crap I was doing. I didn't have no secrets. So I tried to also use what they said, like trying to turn the negative stuff that we did into something positive. And so I talked about everything, about everything, about everything. There were no secrets. I always had the attitude of, in this hour or hour and a half, whatever that time frame was, I need to give y'all something so that I could get something to keep going. Now, I don't know if that's a slogan, but that was what happened with me, is that once I gave up whatever it is I was dealing with, and sometimes it was some really crazy stuff. We were talking, me and the crew this morning, we got up and, you know, we were drinking, what did that stuff called them? Drinks with greens in it and fruit pieces and stuff. Damn, you drinking this stuff, so hopefully I don't have to run to the bathroom. Anyway, we were talking I just lost my train of thought. That's another thing about staying here this long, is that you get a little older and you forget what you were getting ready to say. In any case, it went away. So I don't know what we were talking about, and I don't know what I was just talking about, but it'll come back to me. But anyway, some of the other things that were important to me, I talked about everything. I really did. I mean, and it was nutty. You know, some of that stuff was nutty, but it was all right. I just kept talking. And in the process of talking, I started doing some other things, right? Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about, you know, early days of recovery or whatever, and I remember being in a women's rep, And me and this other sister in the women's rap. Now, you would have thought we were seeing the same guy. Let me keep it simple. We were seeing the same guy. And you would have thought we had been battling like we was enemies, like we was on box in the meeting. But it wasn't nothing like that. It was like everybody, both in there crying. And then he broke my heart. She said, yeah, he broke my heart too. And we was in there crying about the same guy in the meeting, right? And I'm just talking, walking through it. I didn't use. I kept talking. And somewhere in the process, somebody said, you better learn to pray. And I started that process of developing a relationship with a higher power. Didn't know what to say to this higher power. Felt embarrassed the first time I got into some kind of position that someone suggested and started praying. I got on my knees and my brain locked up and I didn't know what to say because I didn't have no relationship with no God of no kind of understanding. I knew about a religious God. But I wasn't with that one. That particular God was not forgiving enough for me. So anyway, I got on my knees and I didn't know what to say. And what came to mind was a serenity prayer. My higher power sent me that thought. And that's what I started with. And it grew from there. And so talking saved my life. And so did praying. And so did putting one foot in front of the other. Yes. I think that was one of them cliche slogans, whatever. Changing the people, playgrounds, playthings. When I was new in recovery, I think most of my cliches that I want to talk about are things that happened to me on this journey of recovery. In my early days, I stayed in that long-term treatment program for 4 months. I'm not from the Washington area, which is where I was living, so I didn't know anybody except I was in the military. So I knew a bunch of people I was in the military with, and all of those people were using. And I didn't want to hang around them because I knew who I was. By this point, I had discovered who I was, and I surrendered to this disease. And so I started coming to meetings, and I didn't have no friends. And I was lonely just thinking about it. Mm. Yeah. Touches my heart. And the people in that area, specifically the women, were not friendly to me. Now, I'm not saying this to beat up on folks. You know, we go with the people that we're comfortable with. We learn our friends, and we kind of stay close to our friends, and maybe some of us aren't as outgoing to newcomers as others. It don't matter. I kept putting one foot in front of the other. I kept talking, and I still talk, and I was lonely. And one of them times, somebody, you know, the folks in the area that knew each other, hey, how you doing? Remember each other from school or whatever. They acted like I was invisible. And my story is, being number 8 of 10 children, I felt invisible all my life. So that didn't help my state, but it didn't matter. I kept coming back. I kept talking about everything. And I kept doing what I was supposed to do to stay here. And one of those Saturdays, you know, when you're new in recovery and you work a 9-to-5 job and you don't have no friends, days can be pretty long on the weekends. And one of them Saturday mornings, I got up, and I was like, what am I going to do with myself? I don't know. I was in a recovery house, so that was a good thing. But I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't have no friends. And so I thought about the old friends, and I said, well, I'll at least call and see what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. And I called and went to see what was going on over there, and the music was, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. They were doing what we used to do, right? They were over there doing their thing, right? The music was blasting, and you could hear the laughter. Thank you. And they was doing the same thing, so I said, thanks a lot. Basically, it was like, thanks a lot for letting me share. And after I talked a few minutes, I hung up and I kept going, right? I kept going. And I changed all those friends that I had. Well, they weren't a lot, but there were a couple Army buddies. And I changed them. And I kept coming back. And eventually, I found a couple girlfriends. One's passed on since. But they were the first two women to reach out to me and be my friend. I needed friends. Don't get me wrong. I knew a lot of guys. I went into a long-term program with a lot of men. We were all in the military. They were cool. Some were greasier than others, and it was all right. Because I was greasy. Talking about me, right? So, but I needed friends, and I developed some friends eventually. And going through this process, recovery has been the most amazing journey. I haven't done anything as long, and I haven't done anything as well as I've done this process of walk of recovery. And going through the relationships early on, that was the thing that caused me to want to work the steps. Because I remember somebody saying, you got to change. And they would say that like they were a church minister. And we would be saying, amen, you need to change. And I said, I better change because I don't want to use again. I don't want to go back to the same oil joints. I don't want to go back to the same places in Washington where I was hanging out at the end. So I was doing the stuff to change. Even though it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good. I do a lot of crying. It's all right. Tears, you know, God gave us both eyes, right, and tear ducts. There's tear ducts in each eye. And he didn't just give tear ducts to women. He gave tear ducts to everybody. So I use mine so they're not, you know, going to go away or something. They're used, and that's all right. So anyway, in this journey of recovery, I made a lot of mistakes. And some people made mistakes with me, and I was all right. There's it's not an expression so much as, it's not a cliche so much as an expression. I'm about giving somebody tough love. And I'm like, tough love, what is that? Well, early on, it was people cussing you out and calling you all these names outside of your own. And while I was in that long-term treatment program, I accepted it because that was the help they had for me. But when I got out, I didn't want to hear that stuff. I didn't want to hear from nobody. And so I got my first sponsor was someone who gave me a lot of the stuff of calling me outside of my name. And first, I was open for about 2 weeks. And then I wasn't open no more. And you know what? I didn't talk like this in the street. Why am I doing this now? I don't cuss people out. I try to show love. You can't keep it. I think you said, Bakri, you can't keep it unless you give it away. And I was always trying to give away. Well, sometimes I gave away too much. But when we come recovery, I was trying to give away the good stuff, right? I'm saying I was trying to give away the good stuff. Matter of fact, I had a therapist say to me one time, stop giving so much away. Say something for yourself. And I tried to try to save something for myself. It took a long time to get to the point of really saving things for myself. But I wanted to keep what I had, and I also didn't mind giving things away because I feel like this. I can always get refreshed, rebuilt, regenerated by this process of love. Because to me, that is the key to why we're here and why we stay here in this room. Because it's sunny out there. Don't have to be in here in a, you know, this fake light, right? And it's warm and it's beautiful. And if you smoke, there's lots of folks out there smoking like I did. And a lot of conversation, you said it. I'll see you in 5 minutes, but I got to walk through the gauntlet to get there, and it's going to be 4 to 5 before I get there. Because of the love and the conversation, I ain't seen so-and-so in 10 years and all that stuff. And it's all good. I'm so grateful for this journey of recovery. Let me tell you, I think I had about 10, how many years did I have? I don't know. I think around 10 or 15 years when I met the man of my dreams who became my husband. And he took me on a journey that I didn't think I'd ever go on or ever come back from. You know what I'm saying, right, sis? I didn't think I'd ever come back from that one. And I kept coming back. I kept coming back. I kept coming back. Even though, what is it, feelings are not a fact. You know, it's a fact that we feel, but it's not, the feelings are not a fact. I didn't feel, that was actually a thought, but anyway, I didn't feel as if y'all cared when I came in blubbering and crying when I decided to come back. But I did it anyway. What is it? You act your way into a better way of thinking. And I did that. And I still do that. I act my way into a better way of thinking. I kept coming back. I got married to this guy, and we were married 5 years, and he was using, and I got a clear lesson of what it's like to live and be married to a crack addict, crackhead, what it's like to lose all the possessions that are electronic and can be picked up and carried out of the house, to lose a wedding ring, you know what I mean? All of that stuff. I got the true experience of what that's like. And there was a lot of times I felt like giving up. And matter of fact, I was on my way to go give up. I was thinking about going to get some alcohol because I got drive-in liquor stores in Maryland, one of the reasons I like that area. And I had some money. So instead of, and I was on my way. And instead of doing that, my higher power just spoke to me. I was in the glove compartment for some reason. I had no idea why. And I picked up a meeting list instead of going to go to buy the alcohol. And end up in a meeting sharing with you all how I was feeling. How incredibly stupid I felt to have fallen in love with someone who took me through so much. But no matter what I felt, I kept coming back. I kept doing what I had to do. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got to do what we got to do. Being honest about ourselves is not a whole lot of fun. But it's the best damn thing that could ever happen to an addict like me. Because I don't know about y'all, all I did all my life prior to getting here was wear a mask. I was in the Army, so I got to travel and see the world. I was in Alabama. So when I was in Alabama, even though I'm from Pennsylvania, I wore the Alabama look. You know, I carried it like the Alabama thing, you know. Went to Germany, and I was sprechen Sie Deutsch a little bit, kleiner, bitter, you know, all that stuff. I put on the mask, right? I always put on the mask. I always became whoever you wanted me to be, however you wanted me to be, whatever way I was supposed to dress, how I was going to do my hair, whatever. I became that person. I wore the mask. And I promised myself that was the masks were gone. I'm not wearing no mask no more. I'm going to be who I am. And part of it, of course, is getting just a little bit older. George Carlin said this, right? I went to go see him not long before he died. And he said, one of the great things about getting older is that you can be yourself. You can be the grouchy old man or old woman if that's what you want to be. You can tell folks, you know, I don't want to go because I'm tired. And it's all right because you're older. So the good thing about getting older is that you can be yourself and not have to wear the mask no more and not have to pretend and play nice. I mean, you know, we try to be right with people, but I don't got to go jump through hoops to make you want me or be around me or like me or whatever. And that's such a relief. I promised myself that I was going to be as honest as I could at any given time because I want to live. And the only way to live is to be real. I don't know how to live no other way. I knew what the other one's like. This one's pretty good. And what has happened in this journey of recovery, I don't have any idea how long I got left or if I've talked too long. All right. What 10 minutes? Okay. What has happened in this journey of recovery is that I've gotten better. I put some of the slogans and principles in my life and started living in them. Feel, think, act. That might be therapeutic. I don't know, but I heard it and it sounded good, and I started to do it because if I felt something, I'm angry, I'm fearful, I'm this, then I would always feel it and respond to it. Angry, I'm gonna punch you in the face. Angry, I'm gonna cuss you out and go off on you. Fearful, I'm not gonna do nothing. I'm just gonna be quiet and stay in the corner and never say nothing. All of those things was feel the emotion. By the way, this is a pen plug for a moment. There's an expression cliche that's going around now that says, I was feeling some kind of way. And I'm gonna tell y'all, that ain't no feeling. That's some bullshit, excuse me, but it's just some words. Because some kind of way is not a feeling. What is that? Is that angry? Is that sad? Is that frustrated? Is that happy? Is that gay? Well, gay's an act, maybe not a feeling. But anyway, you know what I mean? It's not a feeling. You're not describing no feeling. If you're trying to describe a feeling, that ain't one of them. That's a Kim plug. I go there, you know, from time to time. It's all right. Great thing about getting older is that you can go into that mode. I was in the mode. I'm coming out the mode now. I'm not a sponsor. I'm just Kim, an addict. And I feel at times, whenever I have to speak, I get afraid. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know if I will say the right thing. I don't know if I'll share it and you'll hear what I'm trying to say or what God intends for me to say. I do often ask him, you know, to speak the words for me. Because if Kim's speaking the words, ain't no telling what y'all going to get from me. But if he's, that's the way I choose to call him. If he is moving me, if he's guiding me, then I'm subject to say something that's pretty positive. You ever do this? You know, you're sharing with a friend, a loved one, a sponsee, a sponsor, or whoever, a buddy, and you feel yourself going into a mode of saying some stuff that you never thought you would say. Somebody said it to you probably at one point, and you know, you hear yourself saying it, saying all this good, profound stuff to this other person, all in love, not trying to hurt. And you hear yourself saying it, and you're saying, excuse me, to yourself, who's that? What have you done with my Kim? Or whatever your name is. I do that from time to time. And that's when I know that my higher power is leading me. And it's not what Kim got to say. It's not what Kim has to give the room. So this recovery journey has been an amazing journey. The cliches and the slogans have helped me along the way. So at the end of the marriage, I kept coming back. You know, when I was ready to give up and I didn't. God put me in the right place. I kept coming back to the rooms with a new sense of a renewed energy, a new sense of strength, a new sense of I want to learn, I want to know, I want to be the best that I can be. And I kept coming back with that. I kept coming back with a sense of I'm going to tell folks who I really am again instead of hiding. In my case, I went off into marriage and a big house and a little dog. He's cute. And so was the marriage. He was cute too. I went off into La La Land with that stuff. And life brought me back. Life brought me back. And I come back this time with a new sense of telling the truth about who I am, doing the best that I can, not trying to be perfect. And when I fall short, not beating myself up too badly, because that's also part of my story. Real hard on myself if I fall short, not do what I'm supposed to do. Like, oh, you're such a terrible person. I'm not doing that as much anymore. Now it's like, okay, you messed up. You can dust yourself off. Or you can, in my case, you can enjoy what you're doing for a moment. And when it's time to change, don't even try, girl. Anyway, when it's time to change, that time will come too. God's going to give you what you need. And I went to a convention not long ago and got what I needed to be able to make change, another change in my life. And it's a challenge. I ain't going to lie. Because I've always wanted the easier, softer way, the stuff that feels the best. Y'all know what I'm saying. That's what using was about for me. I want to feel good all the time. And feel good all the time means eating all the sugar I want. I still struggle with that one a little bit. I don't do all I want, but I do some of it. Doing the right thing when I'm working out and I want to stop at 3 miles, stretching that thing to 5 or 6 or whatever. I'm going to run the 10K Baltimore Marathon here in June. That's an immediate goal. God's good to me, you know, and my higher power gives me the strength. I call him God, but my higher power gives me the strength to do the things that I need to do, even when I don't think I can do them. I just keep coming back. I try to feel, think, and act. I do the right thing. I believe in that you can't keep it unless you give it away. So I give away what I can. Sometimes things that I can't give away, I better do it anyway. And I just keep moving. And I just keep doing what I'm supposed to do. And I keep talking, because it's definitely saved my life. And sometimes I'll just take a risk, because it's hard amongst people, friends, loved ones, to be vulnerable, right? Yeah. It's much easier to, you know, have it all together. You know, giving the special feedback to help somebody. You know what I mean? It's a lot harder to say, well, I don't know.
That's right.
I have a bunch of ladies that I sponsor, and I got a choice about how I sponsor, in a sense. You know what I mean? I try to pass it on the way my sponsor gave it to me, but I'm not her. So sometimes I do things a little differently. But we were in a group not long ago, and I allowed the lady that I sponsor to give me feedback, right? That don't happen all the time. Sometimes sponsor is the sponsor. I'm going to tell y'all what to do and how to do it. And how, you know what I mean? We always giving feedback and not so much getting it ourselves. Because it's easier to tell somebody what to do than it is to take the feedback yourself. It really is. And when that meeting was over, I'm going to tell you, I felt what was that word? I felt hurt. I felt sad. I felt hurt, I felt sad, and I felt what I had to feel, and I kept it moving, and I did what I needed to do, and I faced my fears, which most of the time are getting older, although this is pretty fly for 56, you feel me? Being alone, but I'm not alone, right, ever. I have my higher power with me, and he always sends me angels. Angels. I'm not alone. But those are my fears. And I fear, the other fear is saying something that, you know, ain't right, or I don't, you know, sound like I got it all together or whatever. I have a fear of that too. But I challenge it. Like they told me in the beginning, challenge your fears. Keep moving, do the best you can. Take a risk. That was one. A good one. Take a risk. Take a risk, Kimberly. That's actually my name. Take a risk. And I do that. I take a risk. I've always taken risks. You know, the cop in SHIT Park in Frankfurt, Germany is a risk. That's what they called it, right? I'm trying to be gentle with it, but that's what they call that place. Go over there. The best, you know, you got to go over there. The best is over there. So I went over there. The best over there. Didn't know nobody over there, but I took a risk. And sometimes maybe got the soul. Not that time, not that place. But I took risks. All my life I've taken risks. And this is the first time in my life I've taken risks to save my life. So good risk. Turn all the belief you have in that crazy stuff you were using into something positive that you could get better, that you could be better. And that's what recovery has been like to me. So I'm feeling the audience a little restless. It's been an hour over, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's time. I want to thank y'all for listening. I'm going to keep coming back. Good night.